Hello. Welcome to today's episode of the Desperately Seeking Self podcast. I am your host, Brooke Collins, and I am so glad that you are here today. It is the day after the 4th of July. I hope all of you were able to celebrate and spend time with your family and enjoy a little downtime and some fireworks and barbecues. We were able to, so I'm grateful for that. I originally had a different episode recorded and planned to air today, and I've switched gears and decided to do this off the fly episode for you all. So I just have been really struggling the last 2 weeks, and I wanted to talk about it because I feel like one of the ways that we empower one another is to share our experiences, and hopefully it helps one other person let you know, by knowing that they aren't alone. And as you know from my last episode, we were on a family vacation and we were in Park City and Las Vegas for a wedding. And as a sober person in Las Vegas, it is different, for the most part. But it's fun. Definitely fun. I think 3 days is too long for me personally, and my husband would agree, I think, as someone in recovery as well. It was a lot of people. I think just the coming out of COVID and everybody like traveling again. I'm not quite sure why there were a million people there, but it was intense. And my 6-year-old, we had our kids with us because my sister-in-law was getting married, and it was a beautiful wedding and a great reception. It's a lot of energy floating around Vegas, a lot of it. And I saw a lot of homeless, addicted folks. And I think one thing that caught me, and I am getting teary-eyed now talking about it, is the way that people just walk right over them and pass them, step over them, like they're not human. And it bothered me a lot. I've always had a soft spot in my heart for people struggling with homelessness, and I live in a suburb, so I don't see it very often. But I can even remember being a kid and going to Washington, D.C. with my family and seeing a lot of homeless people and being really upset and wanting to give them money. And it's sad to me to see that. It's especially sad when you see someone who's most definitely addicted to something and homeless. One decision, one choice different, and that could have been me for sure. Those are somebody's daughters, sons, some maybe someone's parent, I don't know. But they are human. And I just kept hearing, but for the grace of God, go I. And that brings me to the gratitude I have for sobriety, because that could be any one of us. Lots of people think it isn't possible, but it truly could be any person that you know could wind up there. And I just keep sending good energy out via Reiki to those individuals and hope that they aren't suffering and they're living an easier, softer life sometime soon down the road. But that was hard. Also, the access and the just alcohol everywhere. I'm not used to alcohol being available to me every single place that I turn. It's in my hotel room on the counter. It's, you're walking around the casino, it's all there. It's every place you go. There's people on the streets selling it. There's people drinking it, walking around. Like the proximity to alcohol was something I'm not really used to anymore. So I wasn't tempted to drink. I didn't think I was going to drink. But when I say that I struggled because it's just something I don't have to think about at home. I don't have to sit there and watch people drinking. And, even my husband mentioned something interesting. He said, there's all this new alcohol. And my husband's been sober since we're the same age. So since he was 17. So since 1997, he's been sober. And, you know, he's like, there's just so many new things that look so good. It's like this tempting, I wonder what that tastes like thought, which leads to another thought, which leads to another thought. And this is the rabbit hole of addiction, right? This is the rabbit hole of someone who has a problem and is in recovery, because our minds will always find a way to, I wonder what that would taste like, or God, I wonder if that's good, or is it bubbly? Is it, you know, I don't know. It was a lot, I think, even for both of us. And I did have to actually break down, and I called my sponsor the last day saying, I mean, I've got like 15 hours here and I feel like I'm going to crack or have a nervous breakdown. I just can't handle all the energy and all the drinking everywhere. So if you live in a situation that got me to thinking that if you live in a situation where that is your reality, and you are sober today, or you're choosing to be alcohol free, I give you so much credit. I celebrate you, because that is the adversity that even I had to overcome in my mind. Just like, okay, this is temporary. You're not normally around people drinking this much. I think that was the other trigger for me, was most definitely the amount of people that were so intoxicated. We were at Caesars again, and they always have this pool thing, I guess, on weekends where you can buy passes and reserve spots at cabanas and things like that. And people were so intoxicated from the 118 degree heat and drinking all day. Like, security just puts them in these wheelchairs and takes them to their room. There's no ambulances, there's no medical anything. And it's like, holy crap, these people can't even stand up. So that is a trigger for me for sure. And I'm just not used to being around people that intoxicated anymore. And one first feeling, gratitude. Second feeling, that was me. Third feeling, I start to feel uncomfortable and I just can't be around it for very long. So I'm grateful to be back in Michigan. And I always struggle the week of 4th of July. I always like try to not focus on it, but this year was hard. It's a grief thing for me. My sister died when I was 13, and her birthday is July 3rd. And I don't know, the older I get, the harder it becomes for her birthday for me to not feel, a twinge of pain or, sadness. I try to celebrate in a way that feels, more joyful than focusing on the sad, but you know, it's grief. And grief is a tricky thing. And for me, I hid my grief about my sister for a really long time. It's how I started drinking, at first, to like numb out the pain and the process of actually feeling the grief. So it's interesting in sobriety to grieve. I don't really like it. I don't like how uncomfortable things can feel for me. And I also try to keep myself in check and make sure that I'm doing the next right thing, and I'm not making things all about me, and that I'm not lashing out at people. I will say I'm always tired around this time of year, like dead tired. Can't really need to force myself to get going, because so my sister's birthday, her name was Casey, is July 3rd, but her death anniversary is August 5th. So there's like this 4-week period of stress on my body. And most of it, I'm not even aware of until after the date has passed. If you've lost someone in your immediate family or close to you, you can probably understand what I mean. But most of it is not, it's not something I'm hyper aware of. There's just like a stress and a fatigue, physical symptoms. And I've talked about this a lot with clients one-on-one, but I do believe that there is, when you've suffered trauma in your life, there's like, even like in your cellular level, like muscle memory, it remembers and it just triggers and acts up and flares up during the time that your trauma was initially, when you first initially went through the trauma, the first experience with it, right? So I do believe in that. And I believe your body gives you signs that it's time to rest. And so I do have started to listen to those cues, especially in the last 3 or 4 years. I really have listened, and I'm tired and I don't want to do things. And you know what? Maybe I just need to not do things, which was why there wasn't a new episode last week. And I recorded it and late because I just couldn't get my shit together. I'm just being honest, to get it done. So there's this big wave of stuff I dealt with the last 2 weeks, you know, coming back from a vacation, coming back from a place where alcohol reigns supreme and drunk is cool. And then moving into the preparation and the mental awareness that the birthday's coming, dealing with all of that stress, and then the day of the birthday, and then the letdown after, where it's like you can kind of breathe again. And anyone who's lost anyone knows these anniversaries, they're not fun. Life markers, if you will. I did have a really, you know, an experience with a neighbor last night at our neighborhood fireworks show. And she has known me and knew my sister. And, you know, she got emotional. Your sister was so great. And she touched so many people. You know, so quick backstory, my sister died at 17 of a rare juvenile bone cancer called osteogenic sarcoma. And she did inspire a lot of people. And that is a wonderful thing. And what I was explaining to this friend last night was, you know, she was apologizing and getting teary-eyed and said, you know, I'm sorry. It's just like she was great. And I'm sorry if it's upsetting you. And it doesn't upset me. And I said, you know, one thing I think that it does do is let me know that, and let my family know, in particular, my parents, especially, you know, that her life mattered, that it mattered, and that she did live and she's not forgotten. So that is a good feeling. And it's sad to see other people get emotional about it. And it's hard for me, but not in a bad way hard. It's just hard for me when I reflect on all the life lost. You know, I'm 41 and I've got 2 kids and I'm married and have a home and do normal family things, I guess. And I just think of all the life my sister didn't get to live. And when you're a kid, because she was older than me, I didn't really, she seemed so old. You know, she was 17 and I was 13, and it seemed like she had lived a lot of life. And the older I get, the more I realize how cancer robbed her of experiencing pretty much everything. And so these are things 9 and a half, 10 years ago, I would have drank over. And today I can share and I can get upset and a little sad and teary-eyed and emotionally feeling it. And anyone in recovery will tell you, probably they're like me, I don't like to feel feelings, which is how I started drinking in the first place, because I wanted to numb everything out. But I appreciate feeling things today, even grief. Truly, I am grateful for the grief. I'm grateful that I'm able to experience things and feel them, even if it's deeply and it's uncomfortable for me for a minute, because there was a time in my life where I didn't allow myself to feel anything. And I was like living like a zombie. So I'm so happy even to share my sadness with you all and my struggles, because that's what life is. It's feelings. And my mom always says, feelings are feelings and you feel them. It's what you do with it that matters. And I think that I just have opened up in the last 5 years to really allowing myself to feel the waves of grief deeply. And it needs to come out. All of those feelings and that energy has to come out some way. And I'm okay with it coming out in the form of tears or trying not to use unhealthy strategies like overeating or eating too much sugar or lack of sleeping or, you know, too much technology or anything like that, being on my phone too much, because that also is a distraction from the feeling. I want to give a shout out to In the Rooms. I was so grateful for their app and all of the meetings that they run on that platform while I was on vacation. It is a lifesaver for me to be able to jump in somewhere and listen to people in recovery, sharing their experience, strength, and hope so that I can reconnect with that part of myself and be able to maintain my sobriety, because keeping sober is the most important thing in my life today. And I can't afford to forget that. So if I drink, I will die. That's where my disease, where I left it, in the hospital. When I left the hospital and chose not to drink anymore, I was fully aware that if I drank again, I would not make it out of the addiction alive. So I am grateful whenever I have something as easy in technology. And that's one thing I'm grateful to COVID for. It's just opened the floodgates of all of these incredible, incredible online platform meetings. Easily found, easily interacted, and implementing them quickly when I need one is just absolutely freaking awesome. Shout out also to the Las Vegas recovery community, because they do have a really phenomenal recovery community. So it's not just a city. There are people there sober and plugging in with other like-minded people. I am grateful to be able to share this podcast with you all. I am grateful to be launching my sober course, a recovery program and community course, I should say, recovery course and community that will be coming out here in the next couple weeks. If you have not yet signed up for the wait list, I actually just left it open because I'm going to launch in the next 2 weeks here. And if you would like to come along for a ride, if you resonated with anything that I said today or felt like you can understand, or you're looking to live alcohol-free, sober, maybe you are having trouble staying sober, I guarantee you that this will help. I truly believe that one woman can empower another just by sharing vulnerably and in a raw space what she's going through, because it always allows other women to know that they aren't alone in experiencing the things that we experience daily, especially women who are seeking to eliminate alcohol, which our society is indoctrinating everybody into believing you can't have fun or function without having the alcohol. So going against the grain, it helps to hear other women going through what you've gone through. And I'm grateful to my sponsor for always being there to save my ass and listen to me. I would not be able to do anything that I'm doing without her in my life. And I just am appreciative of that. And say a little prayer or send some good vibes to the homeless community of people who are struggling with addiction. They are humans and they deserve compassion. And that's all I got for today. Thank you. Sorry that this is a little bit of a different format. I just felt compelled and it was on my heart just to share what's there. So that's where I'm at. That's what's going on. And I will see you all next week. Same time, same place. Have a great week, everyone.